Time now for Inside the Huddle, presented by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance. And now, here is Don Stark.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Inside the Huddle. You're having a great Saturday. It's going to be a good weekend. A lot of trick-or-treating going on this weekend. So get out and have some candy. There'll be plenty of it to get. Let's talk a little bit about the scores from last night in the area. Danville sneaks by Western Boone in overtime. How about that for an upset? Everybody figured Western Boone was going to the state championship, including yours truly. Linton, 35, Southmont, 29. In the Hoosier Heartland Conference, the teams left. Carroll beat up on Tri-Central, 35-7, a game that Don and Carl brought to you. Sheridan beats up Monroe Central, 42-26, and the team that Carroll plays next, West Central, beat Taylor 40-0. In the Hoosier Conference, West Lafayette beats Calumet 52-12. Catholic beats Cass 48-27. Kokomo beats up on Western 28-8. And Bluffton takes care of Tipton 29-19. Rochester all over Benton Central 50-26. And Bishop Chatard beats up on Hamilton Heights 41-14. And the only other score that I'm going to give you is, I know there's probably some Lafayette Jeff fans somewhere. Don't know where, but somewhere there's some Lafayette Jeff fans. They win 34-28 over Lake Central in overtime. It's going to be a great show today. We've got an interview with Ben Martin, the cross-country coach at Clinton Prairie. Then we're going to talk to football coach Blake Bentzer from the Carroll Cougars. And then we've got the great coach of Bud Wright for the Sheridan Blackhawks coming in and talking to us to end up the hour. So let's get started there, Mr. Radio Guy over there. And let's start with the interview that Kevin Keith had yesterday.
The Huddle, I'm Kevin Keith, brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, and we're talking with Coach Martin with the Clinton Prairie Cross Country Team. Coach, thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We've all been following Clinton Prairie for the last month or so as they've had a very successful cross country team. Could you tell us about the team overall, and then we'll talk about what you guys are going to be doing at semi-state this weekend?
Coming into the season, the boys team, we only had one senior, and we weren't able to fill a full roster. We only had six boys in a cross-country race, five score points, and then you have a number six and seven athlete that are there in case one of your top five don't perform as well.
Mm-hmm.
Your top five score, seven run varsity. We only had six on the boys' side. Girls' side, we came into the season with a lot of injuries, with three of the prospective top five athletes being injured and not being able to run for pretty much the entire season. But we also had a senior come out, Claire Eckenberger, who ended up leading the team for us. And despite those injuries, the girls had a pretty good season also.
How did you guys make the semi-state as a team?
Well, girls unfortunately fell short of it this year. Mm-hmm. However, for guys, during sectionals and regionals, it's top five teams advance to the next level, and then top 10 individuals outside of those top five teams advance.
Okay.
And we managed to get third place in both sectionals and regionals, which we were very happy with because we were seated fourth. We were supposed to lose to West Lafayette, Harrison, and McCutcheon, but we managed to beat McCutcheon kind of in the underdog battle there.
I remember.
So we managed to get the semi-state with third place at sectionals and regionals.
And I've been following you guys on Twitter and all the county area schools and stuff, and, boy, it's just exciting to see. Especially when you're not favored in something like that, you come in, you have nothing to lose, and lo and behold, you pull out a win and get something over a team that you wasn't supposed to be ahead of. So that's pretty exciting as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely we definitely ran off that high all the way through regionals as well, and it carried us a little bit through semi-state as well. Definitely built some momentum up for us.
So I look across, again, following you on Twitter. I mean, you guys won the New Prairie Invitational. I saw the county, I saw the conference, the Clinton Central Invitational, second place at Marion Invitational. That is really impressive for a school the size of Clinton Prairie, especially when you didn't have a full team to start with, technically.
It was difficult. I think the second place in Marion is probably the most important on that list, though, because, I mean, the larger invites, the New Prairie invite and the Marion invite, those are broken up into divisions. normally in Indiana, it's a non-divisional for cross-country.
Mm-hmm.
But some of those bigger invites, they split it up. But the Marion race was definitely our first opportunity this season to really show all the work they put in over the summer and during last track season. Because these are the same boys that were pretty much very dominant through our regular season, last track season. And they carried that success over to the season. But that second place in Marion, that's honestly probably our most prestigious one there. There was some very good competition there to compete against.
Yeah, that's a lot to be proud of.
And unfortunately, everything that could have gone wrong, unfortunately went wrong at semi-state for us. We ended up placing 12th as a team, and we had one individual, Hayden Kemple, is advancing to state as an individual. So he ended up getting 7th as an individual, which was well fast enough to put him into the top 10 qualifying individuals.
And he's a sophomore, is that correct?
Correct. He is a sophomore with a current PR of 1601.5 for a 5K, which seeds him about 15th in the state out of just sophomores.
Wow. So what is Hayden doing to prepare for the state, and when is the state?
The state meet is this Saturday at 2:30 p.m. for the boys down at the Laverne Gibson cross-country course down in Terre Haute.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not really doing any specific prep work. At the moment, we've got a routine that's working. And at a race like this, we really don't want to break our routine.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, his mileage has definitely dropped a bit over the last few weeks. But at this point, we're doing the exact same practices we did last week. That way we know exactly how he's going to feel on Saturday.
Very good. So we'll look for great things on Twitter from Hayden Kemple this afternoon after 2:30. Then hopefully he'll have a great race. I was down there at that course about a month ago with my son, who's in junior high at Frankfort, and boy, what a great course down there.
Yeah, it is a very wide, fast course. It's definitely going to be a good race, I think.
Before we let you go, Coach, could you tell us a little bit about the girls' team overall? I saw that they had won county. They won the Clinton Central Invitational. You're going to lose a couple seniors this year. And what will next year look like for the girls' team at Clinton Prairie Cross Country?
Yeah, this year we were definitely in rebuild. We're going to lose senior Claire Eckenberger, and we're going to lose senior Molly Ward. Next year is highly dependent on how we come back from these injuries that some of these girls had pop up, because our number two from last year, Teresa Roche, she was not able to run at all this year. I think she ran two races, and they were not good performances for her, and she ended up sitting the rest of the season. She's been prepping for track ever since. We also had a couple newer girls come out that definitely showed potential to be number three, number four spot for us, and hopefully they can overcome the injuries that they came out with and have them ready for track season. And I'm not so much looking forward to next cross-country season yet. We're kind of turning our focus towards track season, as indoor track is in late February, early March. Mm-hmm. So that's our next big focus as the distance team.
And, of course, you would be are you the track coach as well at Clinton Prairie?
I was the head track coach last year. This year I've decided to kind of take a little bit of a step back, and I'm going to try to focus more on distance since I'm having so much success with the distance team.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a, you know, defensive coordinator doesn't always make a good head coach kind of,
right.
kind of situation.
Right.
So I'm actually letting my colleague, Zach Chambers, he was the junior high coach for cross country this year and last year. He's going to step over and take over a lot of the roles as head coach. I think this year we're officially going to split the head coaching role in order to try to take the program in a different direction.
What can you do with your athletes in the quote-unquote off-season here over the winter months to keep them first motivated, Coach, and then be able to maybe improve on some of their times between the last cross-country race and the first track meet?
Our big focus this year, well, first off, by IHSEA rules, they allow conditioning during the off-season. And luckily, our entire sport is conditioning. So we're able to hold conditioning practices. And we're actually going to spend a lot of time in the weight room. That's what we did over the summer, and I attribute a lot of our success to getting in the weight room. And we're not doing like strongman lifting or anything like that. We're just going in and doing very sport-specific lifting in order to strengthen tendons and ligaments and try to keep from ankle and knee injuries as the seasons progress. And then, unfortunately, it's just a lot of getting out in the cold and putting in some easy miles. We're definitely not going to hit any fast workouts. We're not really going to focus too much on races. We were planning on going down to Alabama for nationals this year, but the way semi-state turned out, I think it's better for the kids long-term to go ahead and get that rest for the off-season and kind of cut our racing season a little bit short.
Well, my last question for you, Coach, would be, and I think I know the answer to this. Again, I've been following you guys all season on Twitter and all of the county schools. How has the community been as far as supporting you as Coach Martin and then the kids as the athletes?
Well, the community has been very supportive. And outside of the few Twitter posts and stuff we've made, we've definitely kind of approached the season with a,
under the radar, maybe?
Kind of under the radar. We kind of just wanted to work in silence and then show up at our proving grounds, which is county conference and sectionals, and show out all the hard work we've put in. The last track season, we struggled a little bit with, we came out very hot because we go against Frankfurt and Weibo in the first week of track season. And racing against Frankfurt was a very large meet for the distance crew last year, and they had a lot of success, and then they kind of tapered off quickly. So we definitely, it was their first time being in the spotlight and all that good stuff.
Sure.
And they're young. This season we focused definitely on trying to stay under the radar, and then we can celebrate our successes when we get to them. So the community support's been very good, but we've been trying to be very quiet about what we've been doing and trying to avoid the attention for most of the season.
Well, you guys have done a great job when it counts. We appreciate you being available to this morning, Coach Martin, and thanks for your time, and we'll look for some more great things when track season starts. All right. Well, thank you so much, Coach. I truly appreciate you being available.
All right, that was Kevin Keith with cross-country coach Ben Martin of the Clinton Prairie Gophers. Let's take a minute timeout. We'll come back. Coach Bentzner will be on the phone with the Carroll Cougars. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by Susan Casper Insurance.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on, by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance, or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort at 765-659-5678 and put the life back in life insurance.
Sunshine today with a high of 66, partly cloudy tonight, the low 45. Scattered showers on Sunday, the high 62, and Monday mostly cloudy with showers likely, the high 62 again. That's your Skywatch weather forecast from WILO. Check out real-time weather radar 24/7 at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Welcome back inside the huddle. Sponsored by Susan Casper Insurance. We're waiting for Coach Bentzner to call from the Carroll Cougars. Hey, want everybody to know that girls basketball starts up this coming week for Carl and I. We'll be heading back over to Hoosierland TV. We got a couple girls games. Actually, only have one. We were scheduled to have two. We'll talk about that. Wednesday night, we'll head up to the home of the Lady Carroll Cougars as they'll take on the Frankfort Hot Dogs. And the Hot Dogs have a new coach, Matt Crawford, coming in from the Central era. And I'll tell you what, he'll make a big change in the girls' basketball program. We were really looking forward, at least I know I am, to Wednesday night's broadcast for the Cougars and the Hot Dogs to kick us off. And then we'll be back on the radio on Friday night, Carl and I, as we'll be heading back to Carroll, as Carroll will be taking on West Central for the sectional championship. And then after that ball game, we were scheduled to do a ball game again with the Lady Cougars over at Northwestern, and that game got moved to December. So we'll start out with a Wednesday game and a Friday game, and we'll go from there. Hey, we got Coach Blake Betznera of the Carroll Cougars on the phone. Congratulations, Coach. Game well played last night.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And we got to, Carl and I, we got to sit out with the crowd last night, enjoyed every minute of it. One of our favorite places to go up to Carroll Cougar, and the reason why is the fans' support is like off the charts.
Yeah, yeah, that's something we've always had. You know, usually it's a packed house, so yeah, it's really nice. It's one of the main reasons I, you know, thought Carroll was a really great place to be was because of the community support. So it's always nice to look out and see what we've got there.
Well, the Cougars got off to kind of a slow start a little bit against Tri-Central, but boy, once the wheels started to turn, it came together pretty quick. Luke Tanner had a great night last night.
He did. Well, you know, I give a lot of credit to Coach Arnold and his staff. They, you know, they did some stuff we hadn't seen on film or, you know, at all. So, you know, just try not really where they were playing, but how they were playing. Their rules changed, and it caused us some problems early. But then as we figured out what they were doing throughout the game, you know, we understood a little bit more. But they were going to make Luke throw the ball some, and he came through, and he grew up a lot last night. So he looked like a junior quarterback instead of a sophomore quarterback last night. And I'm really proud of him because, you know, he made some throws that he hasn't made. And guys got open, and we blocked well last night up front. So it was really good for us to get that on film because I think that was their game plan coming in. You know, let's don't let them run the ball and make them throw it. And we proved that we can do that. So that's going to help us in the long run for sure.
Well, I can think of two passes, Coach, from Tanner. One went to Cohen Ayers on a pass to the I think he went in motion and never missed a step and took the ball down to about the 10-yard line. That ball was put on a dime. And then the second pass that I remember most was to Hunter Simpson down the sideline again between two defenders. Put it right in the spot.
Yes. Hunter's really, really he's changed so much. He's always been a really good player, but now he's became, you know, almost an elite player offensively and defensively. He's stepped up his game the last 3 or 4 weeks to a level that, you know, I didn't know he was capable of. So when you're a quarterback and you know you're throwing to that kind of guy, it makes it a little easier to let her go. You know, it makes it a little easier to let that happen. But no, you know, I couldn't be more prouder of Luke and, you know, the guys just, you know, because we haven't thrown the ball much. We haven't had to throw the ball much. And when they forced us to, you know, we got the job done. So that was a really nice thing to see.
Well, one of the things you just got through talking about earlier was some of the surprises that Tri-Central threw. And I think one of the first one was their quarterback. Usually it's Perez back there running the shot, but he wasn't. They put a freshman Tolley in.
Yeah, so they've last two games they did that. After the Eastern game, I think they made that switch, and they've just – I mean, I think the problem they had was they just couldn't get him out from under center because you could game plan where you know that where that guy's going to line up every play and what he's going to do. It's a little easier to game plan for that quarterback position in that offense. But when you put him at one of those gear backs, you know, it caused some problems. And I think he was the player of the week or whatever for Kokomo Tribune last week, and – in the last two games, he had like 400 yards rushing and 8 touchdowns. So, ball in his hands, he's pretty special. And I think that would help them throughout the year if they could have got the ball in his hands a little bit quicker. But they have three really good players. 42 on defense, he's hard to deal with. We game planned to deal with him and still couldn't deal with him very well. Pretty elite on defense, and then the Horn kids just runs hard, you know. And with that offense, it's frustrating because they get 3 yards, they're gonna get a first down. And I thought defensively we just came to play and didn't give them hardly any big plays. I think their biggest play was like 7 yards all night, so we really limited what they could do offensively.
Yeah, I thought your defense did a tremendous job against those three guys, Perez, Horn, and Jimenez Vasquez, who's also their kicker. My little concern about the ball game before it started last night was I knew that you, as a solid coach, made sure that the kids understood and probably even watched the game film during the regular season just to remind them of how crazy it was over at Tri-Central. But you know, your kids came and locked in and was solid once they got their wheels rolling.
Yeah, and it's what we seem to do. When we get in that groove, it ends quickly. I mean, I don't know. I don't remember the last fourth quarter other than Sheridan that we didn't have our JV in. I don't know if there's been another one, you know, because Prairie we did, Eastern we did. So, I mean, our varsity team has played one fourth quarter. So we've had some slow starts, but usually by second, third quarter, it's, you know, turned around and we figure out a way to get it done. But what we stress to the kids is we're going to run up against a team that if we have that bad first quarter, there's no coming back. So that's really, again, what we're trying to focus on, just coming out strong. And, you know, I won the first coin toss this week. I was 0 for 10 starting, and I won. And we took the ball because that's what we've done all year. And, you know, usually we run it right down and score, but it was all right. You know, we punted and we stopped them and we did some nice things. And that first quarter was back and forth. But again, I give Tri-Central all the credit. Those kids play hard. I mean, they're good kids. I talked to three or four of them after the game. Very, you know, just very polite young men. And, you know, that program's ran the right way. And I'm excited for them. I think they got a bright future over there.
Well, before we head to talking about your next opponent, the Trojans of West Central, let's talk a little bit about the guys down in the trenches, man. I thought Trent and Humphreys and Hernan, I thought all those guys did a tremendous job last night on a team that normally doesn't pass, holding people out and making things happen.
Yeah, and I coach offensive line, so those guys rarely get credit. You know, it's just one of those things. They're either getting yelled at or getting yelled at. So, but no, I'm proud of them. They've really came together as a group. They've become very, very solid, especially after losing Cody week two. There's some big question marks. And Trey Pagan came in and just filled the spot. And, you know, Micah McMaines is another kid that comes in and rotates in there. And, you know, he doesn't miss a beat. So just their work ethic. I never have to say anything to them. They come down there and work. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, if you're familiar with football, you know, the skills guys go down there and they play around with the ball and throw it around and do all that kind of stuff. And we're down there pushing the sled and, you know, doing all that non-fun stuff for 45, 50 minutes and, you know, a practice. It's not fun. I mean, you see those guys getting breaks, the skill guys getting breaks and getting some water. And we don't do that. You know, we don't get that. So, no, the front guys, and we said when we first started, if we want to have success and where we want to go, those guys got to be really, really good. And they've came a long, long way.
Well, Coach, the one thing you never hit on, you didn't hit on, is most of them come back next year. Your line is coming back to almost full strength next year.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful thing because, again, when I first started, I 2 years ago, I went in there and I said, okay, who's an offensive lineman? Because we ran all the spread stuff. One guy raised their hand. And I'm like, what do all the rest of you guys do? And they're like, oh, we're receivers, we're backs. I'm like, you can't have, you know, the whole team can't be. So we had to transition a whole bunch of skill guys into linemen. And that's a hard thing to do for the first year. And last year, you know, we kind of molded some guys to be that. Now we have them. Now they're linemen. They're not, you know, skill guys coming down to play lines. So it'll be a lot of fun over off season to see those guys develop.
Yeah, and they look like linemen. Those are big guys down there for high school kids. Okay, let's turn go ahead.
Well, then the problem we got now is because Ellis was a tackle last year, so not everybody thinks they're going to be Ellis next year. If they lose a little weight, they can carry the ball all night. So that's the thing we changed there.
Well, I guess the linemen always want to dream, don't they? Being the guy. And in all reality, what I used to tell my son when he played on the line is that the people who played football and they were linemen, they're watching. And they'll come and tell you afterwards what a great job you did because they were you. And so they get it. So let's talk about West Central. You know anything about them? Yep. 10-1 coming in, unless you guys?
Yeah, I mean, they're fast. They've got a lineman that's really, really good. His name's Buzz. So you know if his name's Buzz, he's going to be really good. But no, they've got probably one of the best linemen we see all year. And they're not real big up front, but their skill guys are fast. I mean, they're just quick, fast guys. So they run some wing T triple stuff. They're going to be in a lot of our what we call purple, two wings, two wide formations. Defensively, they're a 4-4 team. So we've seen it. They remind me a lot of Prairie. You know, that's the kind of who I'd, you know, they got some really good athletes, and they don't probably throw it as much as Prairie, but got a couple really good linemen. So that's who I would, you know, if I had to, you know, predict somebody like on our schedule who they'd be like, it'd be somebody like Prairie. So they, you know, they're a very good football team. And you know, a lot of people say, well, they play in that conference, but yeah, they play in that conference. They've been killing everybody in that conference. So it's not like they're, you know, it's close games. So it'll be a lot of fun. I'm excited to see the atmosphere here. It's a home game, and bring in a team that's 10-1, see what we can do.
Yeah, I was just going to say it makes a lot of difference not having to get on the bus and take the far trip to West Central, let them come down to the land of the Cougars.
It does. And I think that was the difference last year, honestly, you know, with Prairie. You know, we went there, didn't play real well, and, you know, getting on a bus, you come here and all your fans, everything's normal, your pregame's normal. It's a big deal. Home court advantage is definitely a thing, I believe.
Yeah, I truly agree with that. I think it means a lot. It also means a nice good weather day too, so that the track is dry, and maybe it's not as good. Maybe if West Central is as fast as you say they are, but hey, you know what? I think you have the ability to contain. You did a good job last night against some good players against Tri-Central.
Yep, just got to play well. And the one thing defensively, I was so proud of. We've been talking about it for weeks. We didn't miss a line one time last night. You know, not when I went back and watched the film, we didn't have one misalignment. And that wasn't the case for the last few weeks. We'd done some dumb things, didn't get a line correctly, and gave up some big plays. We didn't have one misalignment. So if those guys come back and really focus on the game plan and get things lined up correctly, I think we'll be fine.
Thought the officials did well last night. Maybe a couple, two or three holding calls. But other than that, you didn't even know they were out there.
No. Early, I was a little worried since like about the first three plays were holds against us. But when I talked to him, kind of got that, hey, what are we doing? You know, like, I want to know what you consider a hold is, because, you know, we're doubling the stand-up guy and running back 30 yards, and they're saying that's you can't do that. And I'm like, well, yeah, you can. But so we just kind of talked to the kids about, okay, well, don't take him to the ground anymore. You know, just how they wanted to see us block. So it's a little different. You know, when you get different crews from different areas, you know, how they call stuff is just a little bit different.
Kind of like baseball, everybody has a different strike zone, so you
exactly
got to find out where it is and go with what they've got.
That's right. There's no arguing with them. You're not going to win that, so you might as well just fix it.
Yeah, they got the final yellow flag. That'll make the call. Well, Coach,
yep, they do.
We're going to be up there Friday night. We're looking forward to the broadcast, and let's go get the West Central Trojans. Next Friday night.
All right. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
All right. Coach Blake Bitzner from the Carroll Cougars. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with legendary coach Bud Wright of the Sheridan Blackhawks. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by Susan Casper Insurance.